Heavenly Father, thank you for our moments this morning where all we hear is the birds chirp outside. Praise to you. Dear Lord, let this sermon now be a part of the praise to you, O Lord, this day. It cannot be without your Holy Spirit who moves. And so we pray that your Spirit will take these words and let them not be my own, but yours instead. And that all of our ears and hearts, including my own, may be open to your message. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, in the children's sermon today, we talked about reflectors. And we can be reflectors, but even before that, the people in the Bible that we read about are also reflectors. The Bible itself is a reflector of Christ's light and message. And it points, just like a reflector lets cars know that someone's out there, right? It alerts them to the presence of someone. So the Bible alerts us to the presence of God. And then there's another role of Scripture. There's probably more than I'm thinking of this morning. But also today, if I was adding to the children's sermon to make it longer, I could have also brought in a little mirror, a little compact mirror. And that's because the Scriptures are also like a mirror. Because what they do is through the stories and the people there is God reveals things to us. Sometimes those are uncomfortable things. When we see it, and we can't see it in our own lives, but we see it in the Scripture in somebody else's. And so then, both, whether it's a mirror, acting as a mirror or as a reflector, in both ways, God is either calling us back to Him, or He's using us to be a reflector of Him to others. He's either calling us or others through the Scripture and through ourselves that He made and gave His Spirit to. In today's Old Testament reading, I see the Scripture as both a mirror and a reflector. The Old Testament is about the brothers of Joseph. And you recall, I'm sure, the story of Joseph. It's a long and beautiful one in which Joseph is one of the 12 sons of, well, he's one of the 11 sons at the time of Jacob. And Jacob loves Joseph in a way that I think the other brothers sense maybe that they're jealous of him. And, you know, his father gives him this really special coat, and the brothers are jealous of that. Joseph tells them dreams that he's had in which there's 12 sheaves of wheat, and that those sheaves of wheat will bow down to the one in the middle, which is him. And so he's saying that all of them will someday bow to him, and they're really angry with him about that. Even gives some other dreams about the moon and the stars and stuff. And they're not really happy with this dreamer, right? And so one day the brothers take him, strip his coat, pour animal's blood on it, throw him in a pit, sell him into slavery into Egypt. And that's the end of it. They take the coat of many colors back to Jacob and say, your son has been killed by a wild animal. Here's the proof. Joseph grows up in the house. He's a slave to begin with, but he works his way all the way up to being in Pharaoh and Potiphar, the servant of Pharaoh's service and honor. But then Potiphar's wife has an interest in Joseph, tries to get him to sleep with her. He refuses, and she rips off a piece of his cloak and says, look, this man tried to rape me. Then he's thrown in prison, and then his troubles begin again. Until finally, he gets out, he interprets Pharaoh's dreams. He's made second in command. He tells him there's going to be a famine. He prepares for it, and there is a famine. Egypt's fine because Joseph's prepared for it. And Israel's not, so his brothers come to him for food. And then the context of today's scripture in which a lot has happened even after that. There's a lot more to the story. But what's happened in today's gospel is Jacob has just passed away. And the brothers are worried that because Jacob's gone, somehow Joseph now is going to get revenge for all these things, bad things that his brothers did to him. And so they come up with this plan. They say, hey, let's go to Joseph and say, you know what? Before our father died, he asked us to beg you to forgive us for the things that we did. Now, it's not bad that they asked forgiveness, but it's the way that they did it, right? And this is how Scripture is a mirror for us. If we're struggling with faith and trusting in God, or if we're more worried about serving ourselves than doing what's right, that's what the brothers would show us in this instance, because the dad, Jacob, never asked them to go to him and ask for forgiveness in this way or to beg him in that way. He didn't forbid them, and he didn't tell them to do that. So they made that story up so that they could protect themselves. Keep that thought for a second as I tell this story. There's a story of a holy man and a milkmaid. And the holy man lived way up in the hillside in a cave alone. And he relied upon his sustenance from this maid who would bring him a jar of milk each day. And the maid was supposed to come at a certain time, but she never did. She was always late, and it made him frustrated. And he said to her, why are you always coming so late? You're supposed to be here at this time. You come this time. And she said, well, I've got to walk all the way down the river to the one bridge that crosses it. And then I got to walk all the way back to get to, you know, where you live, your hillside. And he says, well, why don't you just walk across the water? And so from that day on, she was never late. She was always on time. And he said, so let me see how you do this, because this wasn't just like a really shallow, you know, creek or something. This was a pretty significant river. And so she took him down to the water, and he said, and she says, why simply walk across on top of the water? I believed that I could do it, and I did it, like you said. And he said, well, if surely if someone like you can do this, then I can do this. And so as he came to the water's edge, he pulled up his robes, and he began to walk in, and immediately he sank down into the water. And he said to her, why could you do it and I couldn't? And she said, you did not believe. You did not have faith. You pulled up your robes so that they wouldn't get wet, and in so doing indicated that you were fearful that you would sink. And so this story and the brothers of Joseph are kind of like a mirror, because they show us how God calls us to have faith, to put our trust in him. You know, notice that the brothers could have, instead of creating this elaborate kind of scheme or, you know, false truth or whatever, they could have just trusted God to take care of them. And they could have gone to Joseph and asked him forgiveness straight up rather than making up the story. So they didn't quite put themselves in the hands of God. And so in the power and the beauty of Scripture, God shows this like a mirror to ourselves who also seek faith, who are also in need of growing in our faith, and myself included. And the Scripture shows us that. I have a colleague at school who's had a really hard year. He's going through a divorce for the second time in his life, and his previous marriage that is now ending has only lasted a couple years. So he's feeling the weight of that. Also, his dad and mom live in Florida, and his dad is ill, really ill now. And so he's he's decided to quit teaching and move down there so he can be more with them. But, you know, school's already started down there too. And so I ask him, you know, what are you going to do? What's your plan? And he says, well, I really don't have one. I know that God will provide for me what he wants me to do. He's going to open a door for me, and I believe that. And I thought, wow, what a great statement of faith. So not only can Scripture be a mirror, but it can also be a reflector. And my colleague was certainly acting as a reflector of faith for me in telling me that story and strengthening my faith through his leaping out, venturing out into faith. You know, throughout Joseph's life, there's good things that happen, there's a lot of bad things that happen. And the consistent thing is that Christ is, and God is always with him and never leaves him. And he trusts that. He puts his faith in God, and then because of that, others see that in him. You know, the other two people in the jail with him, the butler and the baker, they see him. You know, even though Potiphar's wife isn't happy about it, she sees God through the decisions that he makes in refusing her. The brothers eventually see God through him, reflected through him in the fact that they are forgiven from him. Because what he does is he listens to their story, and then in 50 verse 17 it says he wept after they ask him for forgiveness. And you can bet that, you know, as perceptive as Joseph is, that he understands that their instructions from Jacob are disingenuous, that they're not really what his father said, but he forgives them anyway. And so we see that incredible grace and mercy of God reflected through Joseph there. He forgives them anyways, even though I'm sure he perceives what they're doing. And then he re-narrates the whole story for God's glory. If you look at 15:20, it says, you know, you meant me harm. You meant to do me harm when he threw him into the pit, sold me into slavery. But God meant it so that now you and all the future of Israel would be preserved because you're not suffering from famine. You're provided for here. And God used what you did as a bad thing to be a good thing later. It's a lot of grace, a lot of reflecting of God coming through Joseph. Being a reflector, you know, has its trouble. You know, if he wasn't such a reflector, his brothers wouldn't have been jealous of them, perhaps. He wouldn't have been thrown into the pit, perhaps, if he hadn't shared the dream that God gave him, right? That was being a reflector, sharing that dream. But it got him thrown in the pit, got him taken to slavery. And so, and then Potiphar's wife, he was being a reflector. He got him thrown in prison, right, for doing what was right. So I think one message to us is to know that as we are called to be reflectors as well of Christ's light, that always isn't an easy path, and that sometimes will get us into trouble in this life. But it's good trouble, because it's the trouble that leads others to Jesus. And I hope that, you know, when bad things happen and later on you get to see the good that comes out of them, just like with Joseph's situation, that is a communication of hope to you, that God is with you, that God is at work. He doesn't take away all the bad things that happen to us, but he walks with us through it, and then he re-narrates it over time for something good. And that's sometimes really hard to see, especially if what we're going through is really bad. This week, I was driving home from gymnastics And Finn wanted to ride with Daddy, so Finn rode with Daddy in the car, and then Maggie rode with Mom. And as we were driving home, it was, you know, the sun was setting, and we were driving west, and I had my visor down in my car, I had my sunglasses on, because if you've ever driven west when the sun is setting, it is, I mean, it blocks out pretty much everything. If you don't have some sort of protective wear on your eye or a visor or something or both. So I was driving along trying to see. And at the last, like, oh, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 feet, all of a sudden there was a person there on the side of the road. This is a busy road. It's not really a road that there's a place to really walk or run over there. It's kind of just a ditch. And there she was, and she was looking really angry at me because I was just driving along. But she didn't have anything on that would, it was really drab clothing. I couldn't see her at all. I had no vision of her until that last 15 feet or so. And I swerved over, you know, to the left to get out of the way, and she was mad, but I couldn't see her. She needed to be wearing reflective clothing in order to be seen. And I thought, oh, that's kind of a good story for us as Christians. We need to be wearing reflective clothing in the sense we need to be reflectors of Christ's light in the choices that we make, in how we deal with people, in sharing Christ's story. And that opens the door then for Christ to be seen. Just like I would have seen her from a great distance in my lights had, you know, I been able to see better if she had that reflective clothing on. Let's go back to our scripture here today. This is 50 verse 25. This is after the reading by a few verses. Joseph is about to die right after this story today in your celebrate. And he says, I am about to die, said to his brothers, but God will surely come to your aid and take you out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. And if you look in Hebrews 11:22, Hebrews 11 is all about faith. And it says, by faith, Joseph's bones were carried from Egypt to the promised land. And so there's a great deal of concern here as Joseph dies about where he's going to be buried and about his bones, which seems unusual. I read a really cool exegesis about this passage. And one of the things that he brought up was that Joseph knew a pyramid couldn't save him. The pyramids were built so that when the Pharaoh died, and that's why they filled them with all these things, that in the afterlife he would be able to use all these things that they filled the pyramids with in the afterlife. And that's why when they find these pyramids, they find all these incredible things of gold and chairs and scepters and soldiers sometimes and horses and all kinds of things, because they're supposed to be able to use them in the afterlife. And Joseph knew that this wasn't true. And he said, I don't want to be buried here. I don't even want to be buried in a pyramid, even though it would be a great honor, the greatest honor in Egypt. Instead, take my bones with you when you go. So Joseph cast his lot with his people, with the people of Israel in this final act before he dies. And so he knew who he was. And so maybe that's a final way in which Joseph is a reflector, is he knew who he was and he knew who he wanted to be. Even though he had lived most of his life in Egypt as a person of great power, he wanted to be, and he knew who he was, an Israelite, one of those sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's where he wanted to finish his life. and go on to eternal life. You know, did you notice that in what I read, that Joseph very subtly gives his brothers and us, readers, a final dream that he's had? And that is the dream that things are going to change in Egypt. Did you hear that? That he was talking about how God will come to your aid? In other words, because Israel is going to be in bondage eventually. Hundreds of years after Joseph and his brothers are long dead, pharaohs will rise up that don't remember Joseph, and that's when they enslave the people of Israel. That's why they're there in the first place. They stay here because they're invited to. They stay here, and then eventually they grow in number. Pharaohs get threatened by them and enslave them. And then that sets the story for the rise of Moses and others to come. But in this final words of Genesis here from Joseph, we see this look forward, this final dream. And he knows this just like he knew about the sheaves bowing to him and about the famine and about all of that. There's more bonds and more deliverance ahead in this story. So let Joseph's parting words be parting words to us today, which is that God will surely come to your aid. And know that just like the milkmaid, and just like Joseph and the brothers, and just like my colleague at school, we're called to be reflectors of Christ's light. Not only people in stories that we read and hear, stories that I share, stories of others you know, but you, us, called to be reflectors of Him. Amen.